What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Hunter Brown, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Oh boy, this is what, his 7th good start? It's been a 9-start run of about a 2.5 ERA, a near 30% strikeout rate, and a 105 whip, something along those lines. All in all, to say, yo, Hunter Brown has been really good, and that was actually right after that horrific start against the Royals. I mean, it was so bad. So, has he changed? Is he a new man? I don't really think so. It's tough. He does not have the command that I want him to have. He sometimes has his cutter getting strikes. That's good. The four-seamer was a little bit erratic here to get some whiffs, but was not really well spotted. The sinker looked like it was well spotted, but that is actually where he allowed all of his hits. The curve was bounced, but then when it wasn't, it earned a high CSW of 46%. It was just really annoying. Harder velocity, I should say, too. 97 miles per hour, not 95 and change, as we normally see from Hunter Brown. I want to say yes, that he is better now, but that just means better as a 12-teamer, Vargas rule, all of that. Not a, oh my gosh, this is the guy we were promised, maybe a top 40, really good floor with that 30% strikeout rate hanging down for the rest of the year. So it's a really, like, on paper, the results look really good. I've been following every single one of these starts and not feeling as if Hunter Brown has really deserved a lot of the success, save for his last start, which was such good command of everything, and then that really wasn't the case here. So I don't know. I'm not really that sold. This was a bit of a blame it on the White Sox here, and now he gets rocky road, so we're going to keep going with it. Just, yeah, I'm not really, you know, I'm not really sold on Hunter Brown at the moment. Mitch Keller had a bad game previously with his command, got it back, 7Ks, 7 innings. Feels good. We're going still with this one. We have Hunter Green against the Pirates on the other side and just dominated. This was the best version of Hunter Green. I cannot express this enough. 6.1 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. 17 whiffs here. Yes, 26% CSW, but that's because he got outs. He got balls in play when he should on really good located four-seamers, really good located sliders, and he also had some splitters and curves that worked and then got in there. I mean, really the separation between the two, and not these, hey, here's my four-seamer, whatever, do something with this pitch. And also sliders that were dependable. Oh, that is the good stuff from Hunter Brown. The question is just repeatability, right? It's always been the question with him. Freddy Peralta against the Angels. Got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. He is the premium cherry bomb. Did not know where to put him. It's actually kind of funny. Every week, of course, I post my top 100 list to Reddit. And I have no idea. I have no idea how they're going to react every week. It's wild to me because do not look at other rankings. The only times I ever get any information on other rankings is when I do the Fireside Chat or the Craft with Eno, and they have both put out rankings, and that's the only time I look at them, and then we talk about them. So I don't really have the public perception of, hey, do we like Jake Irvin? Do we like Freddy Peralta? And I just really go with what I do, my whole process through the year. So with Freddy Peralta, I have him around like 26 or so as saying, hey, look, you're not an ace, but you are one of those guys that can go on that run and has legitimate ace potential. And that means you just have to roll with this for now, hoping for that outcome. And someone wanted to, I think, say, quote, you can fire him into the sun, which is a horrible thing to say, but just pretty much saying, like, look, just lower him massively. And then 8 strikeouts and 6 innings, 0 runs. And I think about that a ton, of just the perception versus where a guy's at. It can be kind of weird at times. I don't really know how people feel. People wanted me to swap him and Jake Irvin, I think it was a comment. And Jake Irvin didn't do well yesterday. 5 earned runs allowed, where the curveball wasn't good. And that wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. But that's kind of the point I'm getting at, is I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying perception is weird, and pitchers are weird. They change all the time. So trust the skills. I trust the ceiling abilities and all that kind of stuff, and say, yes, because he deserves failure before does not mean he deserves failure tomorrow, and vice versa. And boy, is that a good transition into Tanner Bibee, because 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts, 20 whiffs, 43% CSW. What I didn't mention in the blurb is when Tanner Bibee came up, this was a 4-pitch pitcher with all 4 things kind of being like, hey, look, I have a 4-seamer, I have a slider, I have a changeup, and a 4th pitch. And what I've seen really since is that fourth pitch being gone. It was really just those three, right? Four-seamer looking more like actually being able to spot it upstairs, which is his old Stay Verty thing. He has a very steep angle, but good enough vert these days that it works. It's better vert than it used to be, I think. He got a golden goal, by the way. Of course he did. But that fourth pitch hasn't really been there. And because of that, I've been a little more tepid on Bybee. It's been, hey, look, the slider and the changeup aren't always well commanded. And that means he's struggling a little bit more to get strikes, which means he needs to throw him with his fastball that is the most hittable pitch he has, and so on and so forth. But this, he threw 20 curveballs. That was what the fourth pitch was. 55% CSW on that. 85% strike rate. That means 17 over 20 for strikes. What? Oh, meanwhile, his slider was 17 for 22 strikes, which is also amazing. And he didn't allow a single ball in play. That's, on one side, that's bad because you kind of want sliders to earn balls in play because those are ones that are generally not going to be hits. However, getting strikes without balls in play. The best pitcher in baseball goes 100% strike rate with zero balls in play, right? Zero contact allowed, I guess. If it's all foul balls and whatever. But you understand my point is the only way that you get damage done is either you don't throw strikes or you allow balls in play. So that's insane. And Tanner Bybee, this is unreal. I actually don't even think that he pitched absurdly well across everything. I think the changeup actually leaves more to be desired from this one. But sliders with strikes and whiffs and that curveball and the fastball, whoa. Nick, it was against the Mariners. Okay, fine. The Mariners are going to allow more things, especially high heaters. They just cannot deal with IVB at all. But this is so interesting. This is the most I've been in on Tanner Bybee the entire year. It's probably going to go away. I'm just going to tell you right now. When things like this happen where all of a sudden, bam, there's something, it's usually a fluke. One is an exception, right? That's why I try to say as often as I can, one is an exception. I often tell you about the exception because you should be aware of what could be the suggestion for two starts in a row and what could be the confirmation. You should know about the trend before the third start happens because you then know what to look for in that second start already. And you can also make spec ads that maybe it will stick around. However, it doesn't mean it's going to be there next time yet. Okay. Reynaldo Lopez against the Tigers did what he's supposed to do. 5 innings with a win in 6 Ks, 8 base runners, whatever. Only 2 out of 6 curveball strikes and slider was also 2 ticks down and had a low strike rate as well. Heater was good, and that's all fine. The Giants did another bullpen game. Spencer Howard went 2 innings. Nope. Tyler Anderson did really well against the Brewers. Really impressive to me. His IVB on his four-seamer at 19 inches, which is crazy good, especially when you have a changeup as your best pitch. And that, I think, explains the most of Tyler Anderson's success thus far. Sometimes we've seen the cutter take over instead of that four-seamer. But those two things combined, I mean, it's a really good, really good changeup. 23% cutters for 39% CSW as well here. So he gets Oakland next. I think you just keep rolling with Tyler Anderson. This is just a lovely season from him. Matt Waldron against the Phillies got the win. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. And guess what? The knuckleball returned. Yes. That was the only way that this was going to work out against the Phillies, right? The backup options for Matt Waldron, not so good of the sinkers and four-seamers and sweepers. Sweeper actually was all right with a 10 for 23 cult strike rate, which we will take all day. That's really good. But otherwise, Matt Waldron is really reliant on that knuckleball against good offenses like the Phillies. So we are just holding on to Waldron now. I mean, maybe it's a cherry bomb kind of thing of like, knuckleball's here, knuckleball's not. But think of him like a Toby where, with a little more upside, with a higher chance of being able to, like, he has a 50% chance, let's just say, against elite offenses, as opposed to normal Toby, which you just avoid completely. At least he's got that 50% chance. It's still a bad floor if it's not there. That said, against other opponents, there's like a 75% chance of success, right? As opposed to the more secure ones of Toby's against a bad offense, because the knuckleball isn't there. His other stuff is like below a Toby. You get it? Okay. It's just how I'm framing everything with this. I'm going to take a quick break because that was a mouthful of whatever. And we have Joe Ryan, Ranger Suarez, Kyle Hendricks, a lot of other guys that had really interesting games yesterday. And we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Yesterday's games were just amazing. Like, so many interesting pitchers went, so much stuff to watch and so much nuance. Joe Ryan against the Rays, 6 innings, 1 run, did everything that you really wanted. I'm a little upset that across 19 whiffs, only 5 strikeouts. but he kept the sinker and splitter down. And he had one bad splitter to Paredes, who of course got a home run on one inside, annoying. And honestly, he just needed to get that one lower than he did. But such good four-seamers upstairs. Ranger Suarez is going to ace against the Padres. It's not super exciting. I actually don't think he pitched that well. Four strikeouts, good results. But yeah, he just kind of threw everything in there and the Padres folded. Kyle Hendricks against the Giants got the win. 5.2 innings of one earned run, two hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts. Guess what? Like Tanner Bibee, Hendricks also came back with the curveball. This has been a two-pitch mix of sinkers and changeups for a long time. It's been like a year and a half of this, maybe 2 years of Kyle Hendricks doing this. He came off the IL. I had zero expectations. One, even when healthy, I wouldn't have suggested Kyle Hendricks. And two, he probably would be limited pitches-wise, and what do you know, 75 pitches. But then he showed up with this curveball. 10 for 13 strikes at 54% CSW. Changeup then was allowed to go 7 for 22 whiffs, 41% CSW. I mean, that's wild. I feel weird suggesting a start for the Giants next time out, like a repeat matchup, because now they know that he has his curveball. And I'll be honest with you, again, like I was saying before, this is an exception, right? Or maybe he was injured and is like, I need to bring back that curveball. I don't know. Maybe he does okay in the second one. I'm personally going to be out on it. I don't really think like all of a sudden the summer of Hendricks is here. Luis Medina against the Royals got the win. 5.2 innings and one run, but eight base runners and three Ks. And this was certainly one of your like, oh boy, here's a lot of strikes. I hope you don't destroy them. And he went opposite Reagan, so of course he got a win. It was just one run. Not fair, Reagan's. Cole Reagan's went six innings of two runs, four hits, four walks, and seven Ks and got the loss because that's dumb. He had a really frustrating inning where he allowed two runs. And one of them was a 1-2 fastball to Andujar. I got to say, that at bat, I was... Oh, man. I disrupted... I was... very loud in my disapproval because look at this at bat. Okay, this was got to 0-2, throwing a beautiful slider first pitch that was really like a cutter, like way out of the zone, like such aggressive movement down and in. Andujar swung over it, then a curveball out of the zone that he swung over, and then he threw, I believe, another breaking ball in the dirt that was just really bad. So then you think, okay, Andujar is just hunting for a heater 100%. He's cheating for it. Don't give it to him. So what does he do? He gives it to him. Now, this was a fastball that was up and out of the zone, like up and away, both quadrants out of it. And Andujar still got to it and pushed it down the right field line for a double. And I hate everything. It was just one of those, maybe it was a single, but like, oh man, come on. You gave him what he wanted, right? And that's really what bothered me. And then the other one was just a weak changeup that was down and away, perfectly thrown to a righty. Just off the end of the bat, got through to the outfield, and that scored the second run. That's it. That's why he got the loss. There are also these like four walks from Reagan's that sometimes I'm just watching him going, man, you're trying to be so cute with cutters and changeups right now. And I think what bothers me a lot with Reagan's is I don't feel as if he has another pitch that he just throws in the zone with confidence. Like the cutter is out of the zone. Slider is out of the zone. The curveball is trying to be in the zone, but doesn't quite get there. Changeup is out of the zone. And they're supposed to be, right? Like, they are supposed to be nibble pitches. Like, honestly, it's supposed to be like the neckbeard approach is really what Reagan's does. And then it's the four-seamer just kind of whatever. It's he's really like a better version of Blake Snell in this way. The thing is, I want to see Reagan's with more, just one more pitch in the zone that's just not the fastball, right? And I feel like he's in these plate appearances where he knows that guys are on heaters. But because of that, he's not really nibbling enough. I mean, he threw a 3-1 cutter out of the zone to a lefty that they swung over. I'm like, oh man, dude, that was beautiful. But now I know it's 3-2 and you're going to throw something out of the zone again instead of a fastball in there. And you should just throw a fastball in there at that point. 3-2 fastball should never be thrown. I know I say that a lot. I think it was a very nuanced situation of just like, Reagan's, you can't throw that in there. And you got to, yeah, I don't know. I think like his fastball was good enough to take them down. So that's just kind of my own, like, oh, you're so close. Okay. Lots of rambling for Cole Reagan's today. Patrick Corbett, I should ramble a lot about because this was a gold star against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Five innings, one earned run, three hits, three walks, and seven Ks. And I can't believe this. You know, I've seen 3 years of Corbin just struggling. Three and a half. Four and a half. 2020, 1, 21, 22, 23, and now this. So I guess you can say four total because it's because of the COVID season. But I love when pitchers are struggling they just try and do something new. They don't try and do exactly the thing that they've known to do in the past. This was Corbin actually doing the Blake Snell blueprint of not four seamers, but actually sinkers upstairs and then cutters and sliders down. And he executed it beautifully. And he got 7 strikeouts and 6 base runners, 1 run, 5 hits, 5 innings, right? Now, keep in mind, it's still like 5 innings, 90 pitches to get there. And it feels like a birthday party, but yeah, that's really cool, Patrick Corbin. I just want to give you props for that, and I'll be certainly looking at that. Some more in the next start. Cade Povich against the Yankees was a clear sit, and yeah, 5 walks in 4.2 innings, so 94 pitches. Only 1 run in 1 hit, and he just completely tried to avoid them. I mean, it was a lot of up and glove side pitches that he just kind of messed with. So four seamers there, and then cutters off of that. But props to him for really, like, pitching. I know everyone's going to be like, what are you talking about? 5 walks. This is a great situation of true pitching. Fantasy-wise, looks bad, right? But walks are a strategy, okay? A walk is not a hit. And a hit is not the same thing as a walk because, you know, I know this quote from Moneyball. A walk or a single doesn't matter how he gets on base. No, it doesn't. He still gets to first base. Well, a walk with a man on second in first and third open, make sure that guy doesn't come in. 2 walks does not score the guy, right? A single does often. And that's the difference. And I really feel that Cade Povich worked around the batters as much to make sure that there's no home run allowed. And that's honestly what you should be doing. But the thing is, he's not that great. So he only lasted 4.2 innings, right? And he had to get 5 walks with it. So I don't think that the ceiling is electric enough for Cade Povich. He still has the shag rug. If you are chasing wins, Povich actually is good enough with command that I think he can get through some of the stuff a little bit more than Cole Irvin or Albert Suarez. Albert Suarez is a little bit higher strikeout potential. Taj Bradley against the Twins. I was looking forward to this one because I was really hoping I'd see the same two-pitch approach that we saw last time with a 70% strike rate in each of them. Did not get it. And I can't say I'm surprised. Here I am talking about exceptions and everything. And not too surprising. He went back to the cutter a good amount because the splitter had just a 55% strike rate. And there you go. I don't think the cutter should be better than it is, and it's just not. 2-pitch mix is what I want to see from Bradley. Yeah, it's a little annoying, but I think we're just going to keep rolling with Bradley and just treat him like a cherry bomb, I guess, in the end, fine. Brian Bello against the Jays got the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. I want to see the changeup back for Brian Bello. It wasn't really there. I mean, it was better than it was before. He had some really good ones and then not so good ones. The slider is just stepping up. 44% CSW. Sinker had a 10 for 39 called strike rate. We'll take that all day. That's close to about a 25% called strike rate on that. That's really good with the slider. And then the changeup, 33% CSW is fine, but it's not the pitch. And it needs to be the pitch and then also the slider being really good, right? That's the Bayo we're looking for. So steps, not leaps. That's one of my mantras. Hopefully he does take another step forward next time. Yonny Chirinos, by the way, what? He started for the Marlins out of nowhere. Why isn't it Max Meyer? I don't get it. 5 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. And Chirinos, 9 whiffs, 26% CSW. He was sitting 4 to 5 ticks down on the slider. It's a new slider with more break. 42% CSW as he just chucked this thing down the middle to the Cardinals. I think that's the Tony Disco, right? Dancing with the Disco is probably what I'll say, because it's slide to the left, slide to the right, and Tony Disco Fani. That's absolutely a glossary term I'm doing now, because we've seen that work with guys, and it's kind of interesting how that worked out for Johnny Chirinos. By the way, next week, I think for the craft, Eno and I are going to talk about pitchers that have just one elite pitch, and this is going to be part of that conversation, I think, too, of just like Tony Disco types. Gerrit Cole returned, faced the Orioles. He looked like an ace. But Nick, 200 runs. Yeah, yeah. First inning was weird. He threw a bad cutter and a bad slider, and that returned the first run fine. And then he allowed a base run on the first pitch of the fifth inning, got pulled. I'm like, come on, don't do that to the guy. 62 pitches. They were being really careful with it. I get it. Fine. But that run came into score, which is annoying. He looked like Gerrit Cole. At first, I was like, oh, hey, he's 94 in the first. But then we realized that, like, Gerrit Cole is a veteran who didn't let his emotions get to him. And huge props to that. I didn't think it would be that. I was wrong. I wonder if Luis Gil is going to take from that or not today. I'm so excited for that start. But yeah, Gerrit Cole looks like Gerrit Cole. I wonder if we're going to need like one more start to really get ramped up, probably up to like 75 or so. But yeah, he looks like Gerrit Cole, and it's really cool. Also, some really nice cutters down and away. That is not something that I used to see from Cole. It was beautiful, right off the edge of the plate, starting over it and then cutting off out of it. And guys think that's the heater, and it's not. And it was gorgeous. Matthew Liberatore stepped in for Kyle Gibson. 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, blah, 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 because Gibson's back was bothering him. I honestly wonder a little bit. He was placed on the bereavement list, and I wonder if he's just like, guys, I just need a couple more days. And they're like, yeah, we'll start Liberatore. Don't worry about it, man. Brandon Font against the Nationals. Terrible. 0 strikeouts, 4 walks. Command just wasn't good. And the sweeper that is normally his thing wasn't there. So he's just a Toby. Unfortunate because, yeah, the command was a fluke. A lot of the things I was looking forward to maybe seeing repeats from guys were not here. So Andrew Heaney versus Sean Manaea, which in some cases you could say is a Spider-Man gif of people pointing at each other. And both of them did well if you went with either one. They pretty much had the same game. Heaney was a little bit better, got that 6th inning instead of 5.2 for Manaea. 9 strikeouts versus 6 strikeouts, but a better whip for Manaea. 1 fewer base runner, both 3 earned runs. Yeah, Texas isn't that good against lefties. And Andrew Heaney did well, like really well with slider and four-seamer separation. That's exactly what I want. Fortunately, it's the Brewers next. And by the way, the Rangers won yesterday, so I'm going to call Andrew Heaney the defeater of Grimace. That is the Grim Ace. Beautiful. You have Garrett Crochet against the Angels. 6 innings, 3 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He got singled out because he threw a lot of middle-high pitches. And it's kind of funny to me. Middle-high pitches just get hit the most of any pitch. Go high or low. Just stay there. Just don't do that middle. but anyway, Crochet got a little bit singled out because of it. Whatever. It's still really, really good. Brian Wu, 4 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 64 pitches. We're just in purgatory, I guess, with Brian Wu. There's a really interesting conversation to be had about him versus Bryce Miller, where I think that once Wu settles in and he's actually clean and has his MRI that's clean, then he should be able to develop his secondaries better. He has better command overall than Bryce Miller. That said, he's not getting any sort of rhythm. And Bryce Miller has better ratios and is getting through it, I guess, right now with a four-seamer that is, I think, doing a little bit more work than Wu's and is going longer in games. So it's something to think about here with Brian Wu. I don't know really where I should be putting him on the list right now. Kevin Gausman should be falling because it's once again another cherry bomb start with 2 home runs, which is the equivalent number of whiffs he got on a splitter. Just 2. 29% strike rate on that splitter. Strike rate. Remember, I want to hear like 65%, not 29%. Oh my gosh. Oh boy. Tarek Skubal against Atlanta didn't do well. 19 whiffs, which is kind of weird. He threw some poor pitches. They hit it. That's your ball game. Like, that's baseball a lot. And sometimes that you can say that is regression of just like the same stuff. And this time it just had a different outcome. I think Skubal threw a few more mistakes and they got hit this time. But as far as skills go, skills are not regressing. Ryan Felter, absolutely not, because it was the Dodgers, duh. But then Bobby Miller, last one here. I know it's a long one today, but I feel like there's just too many interesting starts to talk about. Bobby Miller against in Coors. So first and foremost, if you're using our PLV apps, which you should, we have so many good ones. We have our player cards for both minor leaguers and for major leaguers. We have our four-seamer, today's four-seamer, which is live data, telling you the shapes of four-seamers in both MLB and minor leagues. And by the way, I'm getting in the habit of every single morning just looking at AAA four-seamers, which has location plus in there too, not just stuff, and seeing IVB and Hava and all of that, and getting a sense of, hey, look, are these legitimate pitches or not in AAA, and actually like getting attention for, you know, for who these guys are. And I gotta say, it's really, really fun to see all of it. Bobby Miller in Coors had an under 12 IVB. And now I'm wondering, okay, I asked Kyle, and I'll get an answer for you guys tomorrow, of what is the adjustment we should be making for IVB in Coors? Because I saw this with Jared Jones as well. Like, it was a 13 and change. So I don't know. Because I know in the minors, it was like 16 plus. It was fine. It was actually sometimes even higher than that. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, Watching this game, had a really tough first inning with a 3-run shot with 2 outs. Fine. Whatever. Some bad command, I would say. Like, he's not really linked in with throwing all the strikes he normally does. But he also had some just beautiful ones. The first pitch in the game, I think, was a 97 mile per hour up and in. And it was an out. And it was just like, yeah, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And we also had a changeup that was feasting on the Rockies, because essentially the Rockies were like, we're just going to chase your fastball. So we threw changeups galore, and they earned 33% swinging strikes across 24 of them. So 8 over 24. Amazing. But the curve and slider weren't there. So without the curve and slider, which I think are really filthy with Miller, this is the thing. He has like amazing stuff across the board, generally better command than this as far as like location and throwing strikes. I think that Bobby Miller over time is just an absolute stud, especially for the Dodgers. The sliders should be better moving forward. The curveball should be better moving forward. Yeah, I'm feeling fine with this. Bobby Miller, 79 pitches. And the fact that he got into the seventh and he allowed another one with a, he had a runner on third and then got relieved. And that was the last run. So like he allowed a 3-run shot and then had one extra after, you know, a bit of careful licorice. But the fact that he saw the seventh at 79 pitches, like what? That's Bobby Miller. I think he's incredible. He's super hard to hit, and it's going to be great. Okay. We're going so long on this one. So tomorrow's starting pitchers, Shota Imanaga, George Kirby, Jack Flaherty, Chris Sale, Ryan Pepiot, Grayson Rodriguez, Bailey Ober, all auto starts. You have probably start to have Carlos Rodon as he goes against Atlanta, not Bailey Ober against the Athletics. Cutter Crawford against the Reds. Look, he survived against the Phillies and Yankees. You're doing this. Nathan Eovaldi against the Royals. Ignore the last start. Dylan Cease gets the Brewers, and his command was really bad last time, but who knows? Cherry bomb, right? And Eric Fede against the Tigers. He's just a really good Toby with a good matchup. Questionable starts here. I debated who should be the streaming pick of the day, and I think chat convinced me not to be to move away from DJ Harris because it's Coors, and Coors has been a little bit more dangerous as of late. So Landon Knack gets the call against the Angels, as Landon Knack has a better fastball. Like, his IVB in the minors has been really good. He threw about 63 pitches, I think it was about. It was 63 pitches in his last AAA start. That was on the 16th of June. And he should probably go at least 5 innings. He had 7 strikeouts in that game and just 8 outs, which is wild, but also inefficient. But that's pretty cool to me. I think he's going to do well here against the Angels. But questionable start. Don't chance it if you don't need to. Could just be 4 innings. DJ Hurst just struck out 13 Marlins, but this is in Colorado now. And the changeup helped a ton with that one, which does get worse. The four-seam gets worse too. Command was as good as it was. Feels like it was a little bit of an exception. I'm not forcing myself to do it, but I understand you have a spec ad. Should you do it or not? Up to you. Andrew Abbott, I don't know what you're going to get. He's so weird to me. Gets Boston, whatever you want to do. Jose Quintana against the Cubs, I don't love, but his command was better last time. It could be a good Toby start. Brady Singer against the Rangers. The Rangers are not as good of an offense as they used to be, and Brady Singer has been fine, so okay, fine. He's a cherry bomb still. We did see more four-seamers against the Dodgers, by the way, last time for Brady Singer, but I don't think that's going to stick around. Trevor Rogers, it's against the Mariners. Mariners are so bad. Maybe Trevor Rogers can come through there. And Colin Ray has gone pretty well recently. And maybe he has his good command against his former squad, the Padres, to get some production in a revenge game. And the do not start tier, you have Dakota Hudson against the Nationals, Joey Estes against the Twins, and Sandoval, Patrick Sandoval against the Dodgers, Tymon Walker against the Diamondbacks. I just never want to do that. You have Jake Bloss, and I'll talk about him in a second, against the Orioles. Carlos Carrasco and Jays against the Jays. Luis Ortiz against the Rays. Yair Rodriguez against the Guardians. And not Zach Gallen, because he just threw a sim game, so I don't think we're going to see him in this one against the Phillies. Whoever it is, don't do that. So that's all of your starters for tomorrow's games. And Jake Bloss, last hit I'll have here on this podcast. Who is this guy? He was throwing in, I believe, in double A, if not low A, or single A. They're jumping him up to the majors. He's gotten a lot of strikeouts in a few innings. I watched him. It does look like it's a mid 94, 95 mile per hour four seamer. I don't have any data on him. Looks like he has some sharp breakers at times. I don't know, really. I need data to tell me, hey, what is the extension on the four seam? What is the break on it? What is the Hava? What is all the velocity? Don't have those numbers because it was double A, not triple A. It could be a case where he pitches so well that they say, you know what, Arrighetti, you just didn't do well against the White Sox on Thursday. You're done. We're going to go with this Bloss kid instead. They brought him up to give extra rest for Blanco. Instead, he's going to go on Saturday. That's going to be a probable start. And yeah, watch this one. If you want to spec at it, if you're in a deep league, go ahead, because the Astros have done this before, where they bring a guy up like this aggressively, and he just sticks around. They need it. Javier's got Tommy John. Urquidy got Tommy John. JP France, they're not feeling great about. Verlander's now on the IL with a neck problem. Arrigetti, they don't really have the most faith in. So we'll see what happens here with Jake Bloss. I'm very curious about it. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock. I'm here at Bambus Below, and your strikeout's high.